Here we go.
Get ready, get set for the best movie and pop culture talk in the universe. It's the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves with your hosts, Alex Mercado and Mike Mercado.
Welcome back to another episode of the Good Brothers. I'm Alex. That's Mike. We are the Good Brothers, the best brothers, the hottest of brothers. Mike, how's it going?
It is going good, brother. How are you doing?
Not too bad, brother. Looking forward to this 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be a really interesting 4th of July weekend, right? Just how everything is kind of going. And on top of that, kind of how our family has always enjoyed 4th of July. It's always one of our favorite ones on the calendar. But this is going to be an interesting one, huh?
Yeah, it might be a little more mini barbecues than we're used to, but, you know, I love me some barbecue food and fireworks.
Absolutely. And with that being in mind, please, everybody, be safe this coming up 4th of July weekend. I know it's going to be hot. I know a lot of us want to get back to normal. Make sure you are still social distancing. Make sure you wear your mask. And please wash your hands. Good brother. We still have a pretty busy show, though. We are doing this one a little bit of mixture of the Good Brothers traditional and also Quarantine Files mixed together because we are doing this remotely over the interweb, but we still have a lot of topics to get to today.
Yeah, we do.
So with that in mind, Good Brother, why don't we go ahead and you are tuned into the best damn podcast in the universe that has everything to do to pop culture. But sometimes, Good Brother, that pop culture world just seems to get a little dirty. And today we start off with our first main story of Ray Fisher. Now, Good Brother, for the fine folks who don't know who Ray Fisher is, can you give them the lowdown of who this person that we're going to be talking about is?
Ray Fisher is one of the most up-and-coming young African-American actors, I would say. For those that want to know what he was in, he is Cyborg in Justice League, and he was also in Watchmen, I believe.
Well, Ray Fisher... he wasn't in Watchmen. He was in True Detective, season 3. He's the son of Mahershala Ali.
There you go. Yeah, so wrong age.
Yeah. Right, but yeah, so you're right on the
coming. He's very young. He's very new to the scene, but he's got a lot of potential.
And there's some drama now. And I don't necessarily think it's his fault, obviously. This is the tweet. You can follow him at Ray 8. That's the number 8. Fisher. This is about 10 hours ago from our time of recording at 9 p.m. here in the great city of Chicago. Quote, Joss Whedon, on set treatment of the cast and crew of Justice League was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable. He was enabled in many ways by Jeff Johns and John Berg. Accountability greater than entertainment. And this has gotten a lot of traction since then. So now, Good Brother, we move this into what it means for the pop culture world. And obviously, Batman versus Superman didn't live up to the hype, which then got us to Justice League by the one and only Zack Snyder. And everything that came after that with the loss of his daughter, him being taken out of the project, Joss Whedon being moved in, the movie flopping. Since then, we got Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam. It's going in the right direction. We are now here at the point where HBO Max is going to get the Snyder Cut. All of this being said, when you hear a story like this, obviously it's not good and it needs to be told. What are your emotions when you first see a tweet like that from a guy who doesn't ruffle a lot of feathers to begin with, telling us what he experienced on set?
You know, you take it from a few different viewpoints here where one, this isn't totally out of the ordinary. Like, we did hear little comments from Gal Gadot's crew about the way she felt around Joss Whedon. It does tend to hurt a little more because Joss Whedon's known as this amazing director, putting a lot of female leads at the front. But obviously, I think this goes to show you no one's impenetrable to critique because, you know, we have to listen to these young actors when they're saying these things. And I think we have to acknowledge Ray Fisher's point and, you know, we got to stand with him on, you know, he has a different experience than these other actors might have.
And for those of you who aren't aware of Joss Whedon's work, he is obviously the lead people of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, of Angel, but more recently, Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. He also obviously did Justice League. He was one of the original people that was going to bring us the original Wonder Woman movie a long time ago. So before we get into it, we're Joss Whedon fans when it comes to the art he makes.
Big fans, yeah.
But there have always been a lot of stories about Joss Whedon at this point. And when there's smoke, there's fire. I'm not going to crucify the man because I don't have any outward proof, you know? Like, that is true. But I do have, it's one of those weird moments where it quacks like a duck, it looks like a duck, it's probably not a chicken. But with it being said, it is disappointing. Because in the nerd culture, the whole point of our culture, good brother, when we're talking about this type of stuff, we read these things, or a lot of people at the very least, read these things because they felt like outcasts. They felt like they didn't weren't part of the regular pop culture and the popular groups in all around life. And we were supposed to be safe in these areas. And it seems like anything else, whether it's from professional wrestling to these comic book movies to these major studio outlets, that a lot of these bad things are going on and they're finally coming out to the forefront. What do you think is going to happen momentum-wise from this?
I think this is going to put people's privilege and not only that, but their power in check, where just because you're this huge authoritative doesn't mean you get a free pass to anything anymore. And I think this is going to be the first case where, you know, just because you're not saying any racial slurs or dehumanizing people doesn't mean that you're not on a power trip. Doesn't mean that you're not maybe being a little too abusive with that power. And I think we're going to start seeing this from actors in general, but most of all women and minority actors showing that, you know, you don't have to stand for this anymore. And these things have to be accounted for.
Now, do you think this affects any type of momentum for the movie come out on HBO Max next year?
No, not at all, because I think all these actors have come out in pro of Zack Snyder, because in Zack Snyder's cut, Ray Fisher was in the movie almost 90% more. So, you know, I think people get the wrong idea when they think of Justice League, and Josh Whedon, as purely a director, I don't think gets enough blame for, you know, he put out a subpar movie. And I think that we like to blame Warner Brothers only, but Josh Whedon's just as involved in that movie. We talk about BVS, and Zack Snyder's cut is, review-wise, much better reviewed. And the movie made, what, $800 million? So for a Batman-Superman movie, maybe it didn't hit the billion like we hoped, but it made a lot of money. So I think there's a lot to say in that as a director. Josh Whedon did not take enough blame, I think, for the Justice League movie failure.
And for the record, the good brother saying Joss Whedon, it just sounds like Josh because of the internet. It's Joss Whedon. I know that's a big bugaboo amongst the community, but, you know, if he's a piece of garbage, then I don't care how he pronounces his name.
See, I don't even know if necessarily he's a piece of garbage.
I know.
Think all these top directors, maybe, are just, we need to check their power.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, if we were checking people's power, would Coppola or Kubrick or any of these people have had the, you know, the careers that they had if we were stifling them?
Kubrick did to Shelley Duvall.
Yeah,
he ruined
in The Shining.
Her life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about The Exorcist where, William Blatty, or I forgot who the director was at the time. That might have been the writer. But they would shoot off guns before the showing, or they would put the temperatures really cold so that people would be, you know, at a really high tension. So, I mean, I get it. The auteurs are trying to do their art.
Quentin Tarantino does a lot of sketchy things, but people love him.
But let me ask you this, as a coach, right? Let's take what Ray Fisher is saying, right? And then let's also now put it in a perspective of athletics. And maybe that's the difference, is we're talking about pushing the body opposed to pushing the mind. But I just had a doctor on Outreach Radio Chicago, and she was talking about how, while it's a difficult situation because each individual, even though they're athletes, they all have different limits. And it's same thing with actors. Daniel Day-Lewis may be able to go to a much darker place. Charlize Theron may be able to get a much darker place than, let's say, Dwayne Johnson. You know, and it becomes a weird catch-22, though, when do you want to push somebody to a place that they've never been to see, to grow? Or is that abuse? Where is the line? And as a coach, let me, you know, the equivalent of a director when it comes to athletics, that's a hard place to find. That's a hard medium.
No, I think you make a very, very good point about that, where you have to have that relationship, I think, to know. You know, I learned it from Phil Jackson, where you have to know how to push certain kids a certain way to a certain extent. And I think the issue comes here is, obviously, these two men didn't have enough of a relationship for Whedon to get away with it. And I think that's the issue where, as a person of power, a coach, a director, anything, you do have to establish that relationship, and you have to be aware of that. And I think that it must have gone over his head. and Ray Fisher end up having a very bad time on the reshoots.
So what do you think happens now moving forward? Do you think this we hear more stories about it? Do you think Joss still keeps his job with Warner Brothers? Do you think Ray Fisher gets blackballed? Where are you at right now?
I think it's going to be one of those things where, like I said, we've heard things from Scarlett Johansson and we've heard things from Gal Gadot. Little things, just things that were, you know, kind of like made him feel a little uncomfortable with a scene, not necessarily the man himself. I think it's one of those, we need to check your power. You need to establish that maybe you went a little far sometimes, or maybe you need to do a better job listening. I don't think this is going to ruin anyone's career. I think this is one of those things where, like, okay, let's talk about it now.
Do you have any final thoughts on kind of this subject before we move on, until we find out any more news, until anything else comes out? Because we have to be fair to the situation. We're just reacting to what Ray said, and we kind of are going on from the history and being nerds in this community. But do you have any kind of final thoughts before we move on, in case we – until we hear any new news from this kind of – this story?
I got three mini points. When it comes to Whedon, I think what's given the benefit, again, I think – it's more of a mistake than just being a bad person, necessarily. Two, Ray Fisher, he deserves our respect. He deserves for us to listen. You know, actors in those kind of movies, they're not going to go out of their way to do something like this. They know that can mess up their career. They know that can blacklist them. So I think we need to stand with him. I think people are standing with him. We need to believe him. And I think this all goes back to, let's say we hear worse things, sadly. If that happens, we have to establish, just because you like someone's body of work doesn't mean that person is immune to any of this.
Good, brother. Moving on to some other news when it comes to kind of a lot of up in the air and a lot of uncertainty. And that has to do with sports. And we know baseball is coming back with a 60-game season. We now know that the NBA has players that have not only tested positive for COVID-19, but a lot of players are now saying they're not going to go. So last week we talked about whether or not the country was ready and whatnot. And here we are, we're a week later, and I feel like things have not gotten any better. And while in Hollywood they're dealing with their, for the first time, of really being things being spotlighted, this is a moment where there's not a lot of history to look at, you know, and there's just a lot of rhetoric out there. So since the last time we talked, do you feel any better? Do you feel any worse about us actually getting to see the conclusion of the NHL, of the NBA, the start of MLB? We already found out just earlier today that the NFL has canceled the first and fourth preseason game. Where are you right now, a week later, when it comes to this whole sports situation?
Man, I know you're the professional, but from the outside, it just all looks so bad. Every day we see this person came up positive. This person does. These people aren't going to go play. The Brooklyn Nets aren't going to bring an entire team. Baseball's getting moved to this. These two games are going to be canceled, but we're going to move them here. It just all feels so pointless and out of touch.
And we know that the Cubs are going to be playing at the rooftops. So, like, they're going to have audiences up there. So there's going to be social distancing, but here in the great city of Chicago, if you're a Cubs fan up in the north side, you obviously know about the rooftops. The Ricketts own most of the rooftops at this point. Now, that money they're going to make from there doesn't go back to the Cubs, because that's a different address, so it's a whole different ballgame when it comes to the revenue share. But I think it's kind of crazy that people are talking about 20,000 people here, 20,000 people here, and this is my problem with the NBA. We might have talked about it a little bit last week. But my problem with the NBA is we keep using the word bubble. It's not a bubble if people from Disney aren't being tested, if the people bringing the food aren't tested, if the maids, if the drivers, if they're not being in a bubble and they're not tested, it's not a bubble. It's a campus. But then you're also counting on people.
Exactly.
And that's the problem, good brothers. We have people right now assuming that everything is a plan and everything is working according to. They are doing this by the seat of their pants, man. And I think that's the problem I have, is we're assuming everything's going to go without a hitch. Right now, the Clippers are a completely healthy team. But what happens in the middle of a series against Houston, one or two people catch it, and they were asymptomatic before a game, and after the game, they're tested and they actually find out that they did have COVID. So are you going to stop an entire... Are you going to stop the MLB season 2 or 3 weeks into it and take a two-week break? That is the I don't think anybody's really thought this through when it comes to fandom. I think the owners have. I think the players have. I think people are so desperate for normalcy, but this isn't even going to be normal sports.
No, I think you said it perfectly there, where we haven't even gotten to the games and it's already a mess and we're already getting cases everywhere. And I love the point you made, because ESPN puts out the story of how they're going to handle this campus-like atmosphere, but they're saying they can go to Disney and they can go play golf and they have these rec rooms. And there's just so much room for cross-contamination there. And it, like you said, this isn't even going to be normal sports, so why are we pushing so hard for it?
I think a lot of it, Good Brother, comes down to people aren't literally dropping dead on the street, and I think that's what it's going to take for everybody to be on the same side. And you know what? I hear this argument on sports radio all the time about if we had just told all of America that if you don't do 3 straight weeks of quarantine and wear a mask for 50 days when you're in public, you won't get football back. I still don't think Americans would care. I love our country, but our country a long time ago made its decision that we're going to look out for whoever we want to look out for and who we consider important. And that's the problem. I like to think, had we just told the nation, hey, you want to go back to having fun stuff, you got to quarantine for 3 weeks, everybody. We're all quarantined for 3 weeks, and we all agree to wear masks for 3 months. And we would all get all our stuff back. In theory, that would work, right? That can't happen here. And it's only here that that can't happen. And it's kind of crazy how we're the Florida of the entire world. Shout out to our friends in Florida. But it's kind of embarrassing, man. But with all this being said, we're trying to get to the other side of it. I'm interested to see. I'm rooting for sports to come without a hitch. I'm rooting for everybody to have their health. I'm rooting for people to enjoy their time, to get some sanity. And I don't think any social issue will get lost in it, because predominantly the NBA is black. And they have a lot of great voices in that league that represent the black community in such a great way. So I'm not worried about any message getting lost. I'm worried about people getting sick. And I'm worried about people going crazy. So we'll see how that ends up playing, Good Brother. But we'll have more about these type of things over on Sports from the Couch with Mike Mercado. But Good Brother, we move in from...
Listen, hold on.
Yeah.
I'll say this. You know me. I love the gym. Working out is the other half of my life. Even I acknowledge I'm not going to step foot into a gym for a long, long time. And I still wear my mask. And we're getting to regulations where you don't have to wear your mask. People, wear your mask. Take care of yourselves. Like, this is a sickness thing.
Absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. I think it was Kevin Owens who said it. At worst, nothing's happening and you're just wearing cloth in your face. At best, you're saving somebody's life. That's it. That's it. At worst, it's a piece of cloth. At best, you're saving someone's life. It's not hurting anybody. It's that simple. And like, I don't see it as a sign of weakness on you. I don't think anybody does. I don't think any sane person sees that. In fact, I see it as a strength that you are willing for strangers to do something like that. Because it calls for somebody to go above and beyond. Just a little bit. Not even a lot. But just a little bit to do something out of their normal. And I respect people so much in today's day and age where they do something like that. So that's where we're at, Good Brother. We'll continue to keep our eyes on it. And as always, we're hoping for the best, because, hell, we love each and every one of these things that we're hoping to get back. But one thing that never left, Good Brother, was wrestling. And today, as we were recording this, we got a chance to watch Fyter Fest and The Great American Bash Night 1 for AEW and NXT. I was much more in tune with NXT this week. You were kind of flipping back and forth. And we were both kind of talking about the main stuff on NXT. Fyter Fest really just didn't keep my attention. Not that they were doing anything wrong, but for some reason, the energy on NXT felt a little bit more important this week. Even though there wasn't anything major, I want to compliment some stuff, and I want you to kind of piggyback off of this. I love Dexter Lumis, Roderick Strong. I like that strap match. I love the promo video of Adam Cole and Keith Lee and that main event of Io versus Sasha. Go ahead, take this strap of this match and tell us where you want to go with it. What do you want to talk about?
NXT just has such a better flow right now, I think. And we talked about it. We were texting before this that, you know, when WWE really wants to put it on for a few weeks, they'll put it on. And it's interesting because they had just ratings for the first time in a long time last week by a lot. And I think they're going to win this week. I think it goes down to AEW's problem is I love the opening match with Jurassic Express and MJF and Wardlow. I love Cody Rhodes. and everything with Chris Jericho, I felt they select their women's division is still a little unwatchable. Some of their mid-title guys are a little less fun. I think it does suck because you're missing Darby Allin right now. You are missing your heavyweight champion, so that's kind of tough too. So I think they're struggling a little right now. I think they'll pick it back up soon, but they're definitely got hit with the injury slash sick bug quite a bit.
Yeah, and what's crazy about this entire thing is the amount of COVID cases that were that we found out broke out for the WWE, and then we find out that AEW got affected by that because of Renee Young, of all people, and we hope Renee gets young. She's one of my favorite people in media. She's absolutely amazing.
Shout out to her. She announced her cookbook.
Absolutely, on Instagram. So she's killing the game, and obviously her hubby in Jon Moxley is the AEW heavyweight champion, and him being – obviously, wife with, you know, having wifey be sick, he has to quarantine himself. And that affected this one. But it looks like Cage versus Mox will be at Fight for the Fallen, which will be July 15th, I think. So they're doing like three straight pay-per-views. So first of all, before we dig any deeper, one, do you think Great American Bash was for sure a dig at Cody and AEW? And two, do you think they respond to July 15th being Fight for the Fallen?
Well, I mean, he already wore an old school Great American Bash T-shirt from WCW today. Cody Rhodes did.
I didn't see that. Really?
It was obviously a dig. Why else would you use it?
I'm going to look it up right now.
Because why not use those properties you own? I can't wait for Halloween Havoc.
Okay, let me ask you. Does that happen? I know a lot of people are talking about it, and especially with NXT doing these little cool mini pay per views. Do you think we get Halloween Havoc as a NXT pay per view?
For sure, because we're not going to have crowds by then still, so they're going to milk this. And if they win the ratings, which I think they will by a little bit, I think they're going to find they're like, oh man, we can record two nights, call it like a mini pay-per-view, and get those ratings on Wednesday night. This is kind of good.
Do you think if NXT does it, we get the Goblin and Pumpkin?
The Pumpkin, yeah.
But we don't get the Goblin.
That's too big.
They did do the entire NXT In Your House set, though.
Yeah, but even the Great American Bash set was a little smaller. I guess there's not much you can do with that theme. But, yeah, maybe. Never say never.
Maybe they do a digital one. You know, like one of those cool laser ones, something like that.
Yeah, I could see him doing something like that. But I would love at least one of those two things, like an actual object.
Oh, I mean, Halloween Havoc. That's where
jump off of.
That's where Karrion Kross goes over and wins his title in October.
Yeah, there you go. That could be it. What an entrance that would be, too.
Yeah, and Keith Lee drops it to him, and that's Keith Lee moves up to main roster after Survivor Series.
Oh, I love Keith Lee, dude. He's my favorite wrestler in the world right now.
Well, okay, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Strap Match. What you think?
I thought it was great. I think like Dexter Lumis is one of the best people built through this quarantine era. He's one of the top five things in general to come out of this.
Yeah, Roddy makes anybody look good. Dexter Lumis has a great look. Yeah, good match, and obviously it's not over yet. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Velveteen Dream. We got the promo between Adam Cole and Keith Lee. I got a little brain dead for there for a second because it was such a great piece. I forgot that it was going to be in Night 2. Now, obviously with the social movement going on, it's really easy to say why they would put it on Keith Lee. But let's be honest. This train for Keith Lee has been for a long time, like they mentioned in the video. But even aesthetically speaking, he's so much bigger than everybody. He's so athletic. It's undeniable in today's wrestling and how big he is. He has to be your main guy, especially on NXT.
He reminds me a lot of Drew McIntyre.
Drew coming back the next time around at NXT and just how much bigger he was. And he was going up against guys like Andrade, who's a big dude.
Yeah.
And he still was towering guys.
Rude, all of them.
Mm-hmm. And he towered over them still. Keith Lee is, you know, he's obviously big. We've seen him, but he's moving with guys who are so much smaller than him. He's wrestling and working great programs with Johnny Gargano, who's one of the smaller, you know, main guys on the roster. So I think it's undeniable he's your new heavyweight champion. And there is a reason.
Who else?
Yeah, go ahead.
He also reminds me of a young Taker where he works better with small guys for some reason. His big guy matches are great. But for some reason, you give him a young, good mover like Gargano or Finn Balor, like he kills it. And that's very Undertaker-esque. And they mentioned that in the docuseries.
And something you got to keep your eye on is obviously foreshadowing, and it's Triple H and it's Road Dogg and Shawn Michaels. Who was the one that, that broke the hourglass? It was Keith Lee. So it's building to these two behemoths going at it. And the red herring was Adam Cole. But Adam Cole is moving up. All of the Undisputed Era is moving up. And I think that's where we're at.
They're going to go to Raw.
Yeah.
He's going to take it off Drew McIntyre.
That's a very big possibility. I think that'd be wonderful programming. So that's where we have that match coming up. So I think we're both going Keith Lee.
Yeah, love him.
We get to the main event. Io versus Sasha. Great match.
They can do no wrong. Sasha and Bayley are probably the two best. I think them, Drew, and Keith Lee are probably my favorites right now, just in general.
I've been saying Bayley's had the best 2020. I've been saying
yeah, it. I would love to see them main event SummerSlam on a one-on-one match. I think that would be awesome.
Absolutely. But we did get to see in this ending that Asuka made an appearance back at NXT, and she helped out homegirl Io Shirai, and she, in a weird time during Rona, spits the green mist at Sasha. I thought they were going to, you know, tape a little bit, but I guess because they're testing everybody now, they know who actually has it and who doesn't have it, opposed to just taking the temperatures. So maybe that's
it's
how...
It's still weird, though.
Just a little bit. You know, I'm not one of these guys who, like, gets mad at them for having Ric Flair there. I'm like, look it, I wouldn't do it, but Ric Flair obviously just doesn't care. And he'll die, literally, for this. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said, yeah.
So, like, I may not like it, but that's not something that's necessarily my choice to make. I don't think the company should even be offering it to him. But if they're going to and he's going to accept, then who am I to say no? Make your money, boo-boo. But, like, in this case, you know? But in this case, I'm like, you didn't have to do that. Like, you really don't. You could have found another way to have Asuka involved and it'd be really
cool.
Punch
in the face.
Something, you know, kick her, but whatever.
Yeah.
But with that being said, yo, when those four were together, instantly, all you see is dollar bills, electricity, fire. It is the idea of seeing Io Shirai and Asuka taking on Sasha and Bayley. We're not just talking about a great NXT main event. We're talking everything short of WrestleMania main event it's worthy of.
Where do you think we're going to get this tag team match? You think we'll get it on Raw, NXT, or SmackDown?
It's going to be a proper NXT pay-per-view.
Okay.
So an NXT takeover, they will be the headline of that show.
I like when NXT does like random matches like that where it doesn't always have to be a championship match to main event, where it could just be a spectacle match. And I think NXT does that very well a lot.
I like a lot of pieces of AEW's women's division. I really do. There are some great...
They got injured.
Yeah, a lot of injuries, but there are a lot of... I love Britt Baker. I love...
Injured.
Yeah, she's injured. I love Nyla Rose.
I do too. I think they should have left a strap on Nyla Rose.
I love their champion. I think she, for such a young group, but she's at least looks athletic enough. It's not like a Rio. Like at least... I'm spacing on her name, but at least she looks like an actual athlete.
She doesn't stand out like Io Shirai does. Like, look at what WWE's done with these young Japanese wrestlers.
Yes,
they've made them all champions, and they made them all important in their own way, with Kairi Sane and Asuka and all of them.
Because of not only did the personality get out, but they got experienced workers. They all were around the world. They're all still young. Io's only 30. But here's the thing. You can tell that they actually have worked a long time properly. And there's an it factor. And you just see it in all of them. Kairi Sane had it. You know, say what you will, but the women's... This is what I was getting to. NXT is a factory for star women performers. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about... Think about the women who haven't necessarily gone all the way over. Somebody like Shayna Baszler could be a superstar in this business. Somebody like Bianca Belair not only could be a superstar.
Bianca Belair.
She can be a movie star. Like, that's the type of stuff we're talking about. The factory that they have at NXT. Rhea Ripley. Toni Storm. You just go down the list. Dakota Kai. Tegan Knox. Candice LeRae. Mia Yim. I mean, and then they got workers like Mercedes Martinez. Like, it is the stackest division in all of professional wrestling. It's all sports entertainment.
No, I agree. It's probably one of the best divisions in all of wrestling is the NXT's woman division.
And I'm super excited when then they decide to be like, oh yeah, here's also the queens of it. Here's Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley. Let's have some dream matches while we're here. I think that's also kind of like a nice treat that they're able to put this on the catalog now too. These will all be on the library, which is super important for wrestling in a time of day where if we ever get through shutdown again, they're not going to do live shows ever again. They're going to do catalog shows. So I think that's why they're doing a lot of this stuff, so that they just have him on the bank moving forward. But is there anything you're looking forward to next week for what's going to end up being? We're going to get like Candice and Mia Yim in a street fight. We're obviously getting the double championship match. Is there anything else that you're kind of looking forward to for the next 2 weeks of Fyter Fest and for the Great American Bash?
I'm kind of looking forward to this three-way tag team, or this triple threat tag team with the Cruiserweight Champions and Breezango.
That would be very interesting. How are you feeling about Escobar?
I like him.
To me, I think there's just something kind of new age about the way they're looking at a Latin wrestler. Like, it's not like Alberto Del Rio. It's not like Sin Cara. It's not like, you know, Rey Mysterio. This is something a little different. This is something like, okay, you know, I don't know how much Joaquin Wild and Raul Mendoza are going to get big, but like, I've always loved King Cuerno and, you know, El Hijo de Fantasma, you know, and now Santo Escobar. You know, the name's a little bit gimmicky, but like, I think there's more than cruiserweight potential. I think in the next year, he'll be North American champion.
We're seeing it with Angel and Andrade too, where very much this Latino heat Eddie Guerrero style when he was just making his, you know, real face heel turn and becoming champion, where it's very suave, it's very confident, it's very watchable. I enjoy all of it.
Yeah, Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, and Andrade are always on Monday Night Raw. And I still think Angel Garza has all the potential to be the biggest superstar of them all.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a little bit of like little Pedro Pascal meet Diego Luna in wrestling. Yeah, like, he kind of has that going for him. So I think that's kind of... And then obviously Andrade is like this suave. He could play the gangster. He's the smooth wrestler. And I think that's the cool thing about even Escobar. They're all a little different too. We're all not just being typecast anymore. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own little flavor. So I think that's super cool. But anything else you're looking forward to in the next few weeks of wrestling?
Nothing too much. I'm interested to see Moxley come back because, you know, I'm a huge Brian Cage fan.
Does he take the title off of him?
He's my favorite indie wrestler.
Does Cage take the title off of him?
I hope so. And it's not – I feel bad because Jon Moxley could just never catch a good period of his life where it's good to be champion, or they never do anything with it. But I'm a little over it already. He's not there. There's always an issue. I thought they should have left it on Jericho throughout the summer. But I would like to see Brian Cage because I think that's a little more fun. And Taz is doing some of the best work he ever has.
Yeah, I'm a big Brian Cage fan.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it ends up playing out for. I'm a huge Moxley fan, so I'm 100% with you. It just seems there's always something wrong with when he ever gets the push. So let's just hope that it all kind of turns around at some point for him. Good brother. But any other news in the pop culture entertainment world you want to get to?
Only the biggest news that we got merch.
That's right. You can check us out at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. We have a bunch of good stuff, good brother. We have t-shirts about this very show, the Good Brothers. We have awesome shirts from the old school days with our The Chicago Beat logo. And, of course, a coffee mug. That's really cool. I think they say we made it. Does that mean that we made it?
Slightly, yeah.
Have
just
you
just a little above where we were?
Have you seen it before? You've seen the shop. What do you think of it?
Oh, I love it. There's so much good stuff there. I love the throwbacks. I love the variety we have going for us. And to see this is only the beginning, I think it's really exciting because we have so many ideas. And all I know you're already working on some new logos for a bunch of different projects. So it's really exciting, honestly. We've got a lot of hits so far, and it's really, you know, a blessing.
Yeah, and we want to thank every single one of you who's been part of this journey. And I want to give a quick shout out to some of the people who have bought some of the merch, good brother. And I want to make sure that whenever you support us in that type of way that, you know, I know a lot of the big shows, good brother, you listen to some of them who, when you put out a lot of different things out, they like to make incentives to like send out a message, give them a shout out. And I think we want to do that as well. So a huge shout out to Jeff Enriquez, our uncle, bought some swag.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
And a huge thank you to Samantha Hudgens. We may know her as Samantha Pyramid. She is the friend who got us our beloved Tyson, good brother.
She's the best.
So we want to thank each and every one of you for buying the first set of stuff. We really appreciate it. We love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. We have stuff in black, Good brother, that is right. We finally came out with the blackness, back in black, for all those who wanted to, you know, look a little slim and also a little mysterious. And good brother, you can show off those muscles. We have tank tops too and yoga pants to show off those peach booties for both guys and girls.
No, there's a lot of variety. There's a lot for everyone.
And I'm proud of us, good brother. And as always, I am super excited to see what we have down the pipeline. I also want to invite everybody to join us on twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves. We are playing The Last of Us Part 2. So I'm going to give a spoiler alert in the next 5 seconds. Good brother, would you like to hear where I'm at right now?
I would, yeah, because obviously I've already seen the movie through, so I would like to hear where you're at.
So here is a spoiler alert for The Last of Us. If you want to see where we're at and catch up, we're on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network and on twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are now in The Last of Us Part 2 spoiler of where I'm at. So I saw our homeboy, Joel, take not Lucille, but Lucille-S type of beating.
He got Negan'd.
Got Negan'd. And even though I will be honest, I think Naughty Dog totally did an awesome red herring. We all thought it was going to be the girlfriend who dies. And they did a great job of making it be Joel. And I said this in the middle of the live stream. As a storyteller, as a narrative, he had to die. He wasn't a good guy. And he caused the downfall of the Earth by saving Ellie in part one. What do you think about that? Without getting too much into what you know for the entire story, at this point, how do you feel about my reaction to his death?
I'm going to wait till you're done with the game to kind of decide what kind of man he was. I'm going to say this for Naughty Dog. I think they did a great job because this did leak. And you know me, I love looking at the leaks because I don't play games. This did come out and, you know, they tried to go around it. They tried to avoid it. And I think they did a good job turning the tables. So we got distracted and didn't realize, oh man, they had leaked that he died months ago. So good on them making this work.
I didn't read any spoilers. I don't know any spoilers. So
yeah, you didn't.
Yeah. So like I thought just because of the trailers and how they leaned so hard to the kiss and to the relationship where you're like, well, yeah, that's the catalyst. Of course that would drive Ellie crazy. It would be too obvious for it to be Joel. And then when you actually get to that moment, you're like, oh, wait, no, it had to be Joel. Like, that is the movement to make this keep kind of going forth. So I'm interested to see how much everybody knows about Ellie. What does it mean? And I will say one thing. And again, you probably know more. I'm so glad they didn't kill Tommy in that scene, though. Because I think that would have been much more, like, unnecessary for them to kill the brother of Joel instead of just killing Joel, you know?
Very much Abraham, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Good point. And, like, even knowing Glenn was going to go in The Walking Dead, it was the same thing with Joel. He's like, yeah, I know he's going to go. But it's still, you know, it's still impactful. It was still well crafted.
Good writing and good acting comes out no matter what.
Absolutely, absolutely. So join us for the rest of this journey. I'm enjoying it. I will give it a critique now.
It gets crazy.
Yeah, and I will give a criticism now to gameplay. I think it's very fun as a game mechanics for the same company that makes on the Uncharted games, which I think are some of the best, you know, traversal ever. I don't love all of the movements in The Last of Us, which is a little weird because it just, if you're going to do as much jumping and stuff that they now included in part two, I would think that people who made Uncharted, it would feel as natural. It doesn't, but that's my only technical gripe. My biggest gripe about this is essentially I'm playing a movie that happens to have video game parts. It's getting a little bit more interactive now, but I'm a good 3 hours into it, and I think I played an hour's worth of actual gameplay. So it goes to show.
Isn't that how most games are nowadays?
There's a magic to it, though. God of War found a way to make you always feel like you were interacting with the game. A lot of The Last of Us, there was literally a scene where they find a stash of weed, which was really cool, and then we see Ellie make her move, which was really cool, and that took like 15 minutes. And that's like Final Fantasy stuff. That's JRPG type of, you know, leads opposed to like Spider-Man and what God of War was. So I'm
I think that's the reason that we're seeing Last of Us get turned into a show so fast is because it spends so much time on theatrics.
And it's good and it's well made. It's just a weird type of thing for a gamer like myself who's 30 years old, who's kind of seen the entire growth of video games, to be at this point now where I'm like, am I playing a video game or am I playing a movie with video game aspects to it? And I love that we're having that conversation, but it's a very complex one. They're going to have a lot of people very divisive, good brother. But I'm super excited to give you my review of where I'm at next week. But any final thoughts?
What would you grade it so far?
What would I grade it so far? It's an A. It's an A. I think it easily could become a B.
And give me some numbers.
I will say it's a 89.
Okay, I'll take that. So like an 8.5 out of 10 about?
Yeah, I would say it's easily can be a 9.5. It easily could be a hard 8, you know? It's just, I want to see where we go with it. It's a 10 out of 10 story, but as a video game, it's probably an 8.7 right now. But as a story, yeah, it's important. A 10. Yeah, it's important, right? Like, it still needs to be a good video game because it's a video game. So, but that's it, good brother. Any final thoughts?
No, I think it's funny. Like, I like that conversation of, because I watched it as a movie and I gave it like a 9 out of 10 because I really enjoyed it as a movie. But as a video game experience, I'm sure it's much different for you.
Absolutely. Maybe. And you know what? Since you watched it and kind of like any of our fans, go on the archives on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network or on twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves and let me know. See, look a little bit at the gameplay and let me know what you guys think. Am I a little bit off if you're not playing it and you're more into the theatrics of it and you're just kind of, you know, watching baby steps into it so that you could get into the HBO? You know, I could be your big brother and you guys could watch me play it at nighttime down a rock and roll like that, like the old school days. Let me know what you guys think. I'm really interested because this is one of those rare games that, as awesome as it is going to have some very polarizing opinions about very specific stuff. But good brother, I had a lot of fun on this episode. You got any crazy thoughts left for the fine folks on podcast land?
No, go ahead and check out Mike in the video games. You know, Last of Us selling over 4 million or something, I believe. Like, huge numbers. You know, video games are doing very well right now. And I know you're playing MLB. I know you played Resident Evil 3. So go and check those out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. On twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves and on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. Support the good brother and I. Support the lovely Nicole Mancha. Support the lovely Nicole Mancha's secret partner for her adventure coming down the pipeline by visiting us on teespring.com. Look us up at Mercado Airwaves. We have a bunch of stuff that you guys can check out. The link exactly is on our social medias. But if you want to just hear it, it's teespring.com/stores/Mercado Airwaves. Good brother, you're on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. The show has its own Twitter, good brother. It's at Good Brothers Pod. We have merchandise with the Good Brothers name, so check it out. We have links on the Twitter, youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves, facebook.com/Mercado Airwaves, and of course, download all the podcasts wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. For the one and only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Everyone be on the lookout because I'm excited that we're finally going to be able to do our Star Wars list that got pushed back because of the new regulations of quarantine and the good brothers and the move. But be on the lookout. We're finally going to do our Star Wars list. I'm very excited about that.
How excited are you to actually get this list finally out there?
I've been working on this one a bit. I keep going back and forth with some picks and some argument points I know we're going to get into, but I'm very excited.
That's going to be a fun one. So take a look and a gander at some of the old episodes of the Quarantine Files and join us for this very, very fun Star Wars list. For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you in the next episode of the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network.
Thanks for joining us here on the Good Brothers, here on Mercado Airwaves.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests, prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.